kind of environment very quickly. Everything you've learned about the image of God, everything that we've learned about animal rights, all ties into the environment. Humans have a responsibility towards creation and Christianity, so keep that in mind. Move to the environment very quickly. The debate is quite often about the resources that we use from the earth and how we're using them and how that can harm the world around us. And it's basically non-renewable resources that we're worried about. In other words, resources that once we've used them, we can't replace. Coal would be an important one. Coal is not just used to fuel heating in homes. Coal is quite often burned to turn the turbines that generate electricity in power stations. So we burn huge amounts of coal every year. And that's responsible for putting carbon dioxide, huge amounts of carbon dioxide out there. Coal is what we call a fossil fuel. So basically, once upon a time, coal was plants which got crushed. They died and then got crushed, and that becomes coal and something we can burn because of the carbon in it. But when we burn it, the carbon gets released and that creates global warming. We'll talk about that in a minute. There's also sulfur dioxide, which is released when we burn coal, and that can cause acid rain, which effectively over time is so much acid in it, it can even begin to have an effect on iron and metals like that. Acid rain is obviously not a good thing. It affects the environment. Coal mining is usually done in open cast pits, so it, you know, you're digging up huge amounts of coal out of the environment. It's unsightly, it destroys land, it means that animals can't breed in that particular area, and mining can also be dangerous to the humans who do it. It's not something we see much of in Britain anymore. There would be a lot of mining in America, China, places like that. The coal mining industry in Britain has gone, but we still consume huge amounts of coal. Oil, again, is another fossil fuel. It releases carbon. It releases carbon gases into the air, carbon monoxide from your car when you're driving it, so it's a greenhouse gas. There's danger of oil spills, so if there an oil vessel crashes, the oil creates slick over the surface of the sea or the body of water that you're on. That means the birds can't get to fish underneath the water, so it's very damaging to the wildlife. Danger of explosions. Again, air pollution is a problem with oil. Wood is used for burning in fires and in homes. Trees are used up much more quickly than we can replace them. Firewood, I suppose, is the ultimate non-renewable resource because, you know, the trees are just used up so quickly that we're just not going to replace them. Using wood then and cutting down trees is a model for what we call sustainable development, where basically what we're trying to do is to make sure we don't use up more trees than we plant. And so sustainable development would be, well, if I'm going to cut down 100 trees today, I'm going to plant 1,000 trees tomorrow. The reason for planting more than you cut down is because trees take time to grow. So sustainable development is making sure that you have enough trees planted so that you replace what you use. Again, using up forest and woods, it's not just done for fuel. It can be done because of our appetite for meat. So cattle farming is a huge growth industry in South America and places like Brazil and Argentina because people can now afford to eat meat daily in those areas, which sounds maybe strange to us who are used to buying a McDonald's every day, but you know, many parts of the world, you know, a meat dish every day is a new thing. And so farmers want to breed cattle, but to do that they need land. Well, where do you get the land? Well, you cut down trees. Well, once you have the trees cut down, what do you do with them? Well, you burn them, and that releases carbon gases into the air. It also means that there's less land for birds and all sorts of creatures to breed on, which has an effect on what we call biodiversity. That means you get less butterflies, less insects in the air. That causes problems for pollination. You know, farmers depend on bees and butterflies to pollinate their crops. And so there's been some concern, believe it or not, in the world recently that the number of bumblebees are going down, because we desperately need bumblebees for our wheat crops. So forests are a problem, and replanting forests, it's not keeping pace with the amount that we're cutting down. At the minute, we do not have sustainable development when it comes to forests. Nuclear power is obviously a problem. There's a danger of radiation, high cost involved. There's the problems of disposing of waste. Gas is really seemed to be possibly something that might help us out in the near future. Now, there's dangers of explosion. There's danger of some air pollution. Methane gas, if it's used, is a greenhouse gas. But fracking is something that you've probably heard about. And basically, in fracking, what they do is they drill down into the earth and then use a high-pressure water mixture directed at the rock. And what that does is that releases gas that we can use for fuel. So water, sand, and chemicals are injected into the rock at high pressure. And that allows the gas just to flow out of the head into the well. Been some worries about it. Some people worry about the effect of the environment, because obviously you have to clear the area of woodland and hedges and whatever else to begin fracking. There are worries that carcinogenic chemicals are used, in other words, chemicals that caused cancer. The people who are into fracking say that you don't have to use those chemicals, and when dangerous chemicals are used, good practice will stop those getting into the atmosphere, into the environment around you. There's worries that it can cause small earth tremors. Now, in Blackpool, there actually were two small earthquakes at 1.5 and 2.2 on the Richter scale in 2011 following fracking. It doesn't happen often, but, you know, obviously earthquakes in places like Blackpool are things, it's just not what we're used to and nothing that we want. A lot of people are worried that fracking is drawing attention away from things like solar power for geothermal power, where you use the heat of the earth to power stations, or tides using hydroelectric plants, where you're going to use the tides and the flow of the tides to turn the turbines to generate electricity. And some people worry that fracking is detracting for those, because fracking, while it is getting lots of gas out quickly, so America is basically hoping that it can have enough energy security for 100 years through fracking, and that it can generate half the carbon gases that it would if it was using coal, if it uses fracking instead. So fracking could be very good for the environment. But a lot of people are worried that America's just going to go, oh right, the next 100 years we're okay for fuel, and not look into things like solar power and geothermal power and all those things that we really need to develop if we're going to have energy for the next 500, 600, 700 years. But fracking, while a lot of people are against it because they're worried about carcinogenic chemicals, because they're worried about earthquakes and all sorts of damage, does seem to be one area where we maybe could be seeing a little bit of hope, but it's very controversial. Some people say it's bad for the environment because of the chemicals used, because of earthquakes. Some people, maybe a bit more like myself, think, well, this might actually be a good thing if we could get used to it. Global warming is obviously the big concern. It's the one that people focus on most when it comes to the environment, and that's because the earth needs greenhouse gases. Greenhouse gases work like the glass in a greenhouse. They let light in, but they don't let the heat out. You let light in, but you don't let the heat out. And carbon gases in the atmosphere keep heat trapped in, and that's good because otherwise the earth would be too cold for us to live in. But if we put a little bit more carbon gas into the atmosphere than what normally would by burning carbon fuels, where we're making the glass in our greenhouse just that wee bit thicker and the earth gets a wee bit warmer. Or to be more accurate, areas of the world get a wee bit warmer. And we get extreme weather cycles. So some areas in the earth get warmer. But because those areas are getting warmer, the air in that area affects the air in areas around it, and they can actually get more stormier and colder. It can get more wind and more rain. And global warming causes climate change, which causes extreme weather cycles. And that's bad for farmers. You know, areas, farms beside lakes could, over the next 20, 30, 40 years, could find themselves flooded. Or they could find that there's a drought in that area and the lake dries up. The Himalayan mountains, farms around that area depend on the ice melting there each year, and that creates rivers which flow down and irrigate their farms. Well, what happens if that ice melts much too quickly? You find huge areas of farmland which are now dead. And so these extreme weather cycles cause a problem. They cause crop destruction, where, you know, you get storms coming in and destroying crops. And on top of that, we have this problem now where there's pressure on farmers in the developing world to produce more and more food much more cheaply every year. And so they keep planting in the same patch of ground year upon year upon year, and that destroys the soil. That can turn soil and farmland into desert. You have to give the land a break every so often to allow the nutrients to get back into it. So if you put the extreme weather cycles caused by global warming on top of bad farm practices, and farmland's eaten up. Now remember, when you talked about animal rights, farming's the most important job there is. Farming's at the foundation of our civilization. We tend to forget about that because we import so much of our food, and because it now takes fewer farmers to farm the land than it did before because of machinery. But if farmers don't make enough food for others to eat, then we all have to go back to clawing around in the ground for food. And the problem is there's not enough food on the planet for 6 billion people to be hunter-gatherers. We need farmers to keep us all alive. So anything which puts too much pressure on farmers is a bad thing. Like in some parts of the world, this could literally lead to war, where people have to fight over water for their farms. Anything which is bad for farming is bad for everyone. And that's something that we in the West forget about, particularly in Britain, where we import so much of our food. Farming should really be our first concern, not industry, but farms. Have we a set of policies which will sustain farming over the next 300, 400, 500, 600 years? Because without farming, there's no civilization. There are no cities. There are no industries. So there are events called Earth Summits. There was one at Kyoto, K-Y-O-T-O, which tried to control global warming. Some people have argued that global warming is really not down to us. It is happening, but we're having such little effect on it that the best thing to do is just to not to try to control global warming, and really to try and industrialise and create industries in countries like Bangladesh so that they'll be able to cope better with the effects of global warming. That doesn't seem to be a good bet to me personally, but some people say it's out there. But at the end of the day, our first concern, our primary concern, must be farmland. What are our policies doing to the farms of the world and to farmers? And let's make sure that their future is safe and secure. And then we move on to, well, what about industry? What about research? What about universities? And if you need a motivation for that, consider this. Some people can seriously are suggesting that within our lifetime, we will have to start insect farms, because there's not enough farmland to go around for cattle. So if we all want meat, it's going to have to be bugs. So unless you want to be sitting down to a locust burger next time you go to McDonald's, seriously consider what our policies are doing for farmland.